The Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and without Him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in Him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who receive him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or the will of the flesh or the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
Be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Throughout human history, we've been lost in the darkness and looking for the light. Surely, these last couple years, we've been longing for light at the end of the tunnel. But with each new wave, it feels like at best we're caught in a fog, longing to see the light. Now, in John's Christmas story, what we are getting is the beginning of the end of our struggle with all that turmoil, the turmoil that we experience in the world and all that life brings to us. But now, Martin Luther offers a bit of commentary that expands a bit on Luke's Christmas story and how we don't make room for that light that has come to dwell with us that we hear in John's gospel. He says, quote, "Now when they were to come to Bethlehem, the evangelist says that they were, were of all the lowest and most despised. Bethlehem ought to have made way for them, but they were shoved into a stable to make common lodging and table with the cattle, while many cutthroats lounged like lords in the inn. They did not recognize what God was doing in the stable. With all their eating, drinking, and finery, God left them empty, and this comfort and treasure was hidden from them. Oh, what a dark night it was in Bethlehem that this light should have been seen. Thus God shows that he has no regard for what the world is and has and does. And the world shows that it does not know or consider what God is and has and does. End quote. The judgment of Bethlehem can certainly be applied to humanity today. We haven't evolved as much as we'd like to think. And again, Luther does not mince words when he offers the circumstance, when it comes to the circumstances of the Holy Family in Luke's Christmas story. Quote, Joseph had to do his best, and it may well be that he asks some maid to fetch water or something else, but we do not read that anyone came to help. They heard that a young wife was lying in a cow stall, and no one gave heed. Shame on you, wretched Bethlehem. The inn ought to have been burned with brimstone. For even though Mary had been a beggar and unwed, anybody at such time should have been glad to give her a hand. End quote. But Christ comes into the world to bring light and not more darkness. Even when darkness tries to overcome this light by crucifying Jesus, it's not brimstone that Jesus comes back with, but love, mercy, forgiveness, and life eternal. Luther goes on to say, quote, let us then meditate upon the nativity just as we see it happening in our own babies. I would not have you contemplate the deity of Christ, the majesty of Christ, but rather his flesh. Look upon the baby Jesus. Divinity may terrify man. Inexpressible majesty will crush him. That is why Christ took on our humanity, save for sin, that he should not terrify us, but rather that with love and favor he should console and confirm. End quote. The light that breaks through enables us to see with eyes of faith that we encounter the living God in our world, that we encounter the living God in word and sacrament, but we also have the ability to see the living God in our neighbor. So Luther goes on to say, and this really should convict us all today, quote, there are many of you in this congregation who think to yourselves, if only I would have been there, how quick I would have been to help the baby. I would have washed his linen. How happy I would have been to go with the shepherds to see the Lord lying in the manger. Yes, you would. You say that because you know how great Christ is. But if you had been there at the time, you would have done no better than the people of Bethlehem. Childish and silly thoughts are these. Why don't you do it now? You have Christ in your neighbor. You ought to serve him. For what you do to your neighbor in need, you do to the Lord Christ himself. End quote. We have the ability to see our neighbor in our fellow, to see God in our neighbor. We have the ability to point to the light of Christ that has broken into the world as ones who encounter the living God through word and sacrament. And what's moving about John's gospel, I'm going to kind of transition into much of what I shared on Christmas morning, is that it is a Christmas story, but we might not think of it as a Christmas story because it doesn't have that tangibility that we see in Luke's gospel that Luther could really latch on to, right? That we can kind of relate to a family that's struggling when the mother's about to give birth, right? We can there's some earthiness there. John's gospel is very theologically savvy and poetic, but that power of theology and the poetry is really something for us to sit and ponder. We hear these words, and we see it revealed in Luke's gospel very much, but we hear these words in John particularly, and the Word became flesh and lived among us. But the better translation should be that the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. Now, in the Old Testament, the tabernacle was a residence of a dwelling place that was portable and where the God of Israel resided. And what we hear in both Christmas stories, in Luke and in John, is that the Word, the I Am, is now tabernacling among us by taking on our flesh and taking on our humanity. For the world has fallen and is longing for that light. And we need God to tabernacle with us, because we need God's, only God's light can overcome the darkness that has plagued this world. So God is not distant. God is not an absentee landlord. Our God is with us and continues to dwell with us all the days of our lives. And Christmas offers us this very tangible reminder of this truth. And as I shared on Christmas morning, that concept of tabernacle, not just from the Old Testament, but if you're familiar with like Roman Catholic churches in particular, they have a tabernacle in their sanctuary where they put the consecrated hosts. You'll even see some tabernacles in some Episcopal churches or even some Lutheran churches. But what we don't want to lose sight of, and while that's a perfectly rational way to care for the consecrated elements for those who believe in the real presence, we don't want to lose sight of what's very important here. We become tabernacles too. We become tabernacles. God dwells within each and every one of us. And then we're sent out into the world for people to encounter God's presence dwelling in the world, because God is dwelling within each and every one of us. For God in Christ Jesus comes into the world to restore all of God's creation. And in Jesus, God's promises are being fulfilled, and in Christ there is a new creation. So let me go into the third commandment a bit here. The third commandment. Should I put anybody on the spot here? Should I? No. Remember, for the Lutheran numbering, remember the Sabbath and keep it. Craig's hoping, don't pick me, right? He's just laughing there. Don't pick me. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. In Luther's explanation in the Small Catechism, he doesn't focus on a day of the week. He's focused on preaching and teaching God's word that we would hear it and gladly learn it. And so what we hear in John's gospel is that the word is what? Or the word is who? It's Jesus Christ, right? So when we gather around word and sacrament as part of this new creation in Christ, it's no longer confined just to being obedient to a day of the week, but finding rest in Jesus Christ. We rest in the word by being nurtured in word and sacrament. Right? I mean, think about going to Matthew's gospel. Jesus says, all you who are weary or heavy burden, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you what? Rest. We find our rest in Jesus. So when we receive the word through preaching, and when we receive the word through the true body and blood of Christ and the sacrament of Holy Communion, we receive rest, and then we become tabernacles. We become dwelling places for our God. So what's very important too on Christmas, as we celebrate these 12 days of Christmas, so we're not just celebrating the birth of Christ, but we're celebrating our new birth as children of God. We're celebrating all the keeping of God's promises and the restoration of all of God's creation. As tabernacles in God's new creation, we know that we still live in a dark and broken world. But if God is dwelling with us, if God's light is shining in the darkness, we have good news on our side, right? Because can the darkness overcome that light? No. We're assured of that. We're promised that. The darkness cannot overcome it. And then there's this other reality that we have in being reminded and humbled that this isn't about us. It's about pointing and drawing people to the living God. And so then there's also the role we have in being like a John the Baptist in pointing people to the light, which is Jesus Christ. Not to ourselves, but to Jesus. As God dwells with us, as God tabernacles with us and in us, we also, like John the Baptist, give witness to that light that is in the world. So I think Christians might tend to read these stories and see them as being complete within themselves, but that can't be further from the truth. It is a living word. And we're part of a new creation that is underway. So don't be stuck looking into the clouds for God, but see and know the God that is right here in front of you, right here in front of all of us, the God that is with us, the God that is in us. For the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. Beloved children of God, this Word, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, this Word is with you. Be the tabernacle that God made you to be in the world. For there are people who are tired. There are people who are troubled. There are people who are weary. And may they find rest in the Word that dwells within each and every one of us. And may that light that is breaking through the world shine so bright that we can point to it and continue to proclaim that good news, that this light is here. And the darkness will never be able to overcome it. Thanks be to God. Amen.